The topic for today is the art of psak. That's what we were told to speak about. I've never spoken about the art of psak before, so we were told 1:15, so we're told we're good, right? That was on good authority. Yeah, on good authority. Okay, so Blin Eder, we will have to be done before 1:15. I'm certainly not going to take Rabbi Neuberger's Shirim away from him. So the art of psak is—it's a fascinating topic. It's nothing. It's a topic I've never spoken about before. So I ask you, mechila, in advance, if this is not, if what I say is not what you're looking for, or is not really an adequate presentation. There is no how-to manual on psak halacha, and more importantly, there's no shortcut on psak halacha. The bottom line is, you need to learn a lot. You need to and to learn correctly, but on that level, there are a lot of people who do learn a lot and are actually quite brilliant, but are not poskim because they're not learning in the derech of psak. It could be for a number of reasons. It could be their focus is just not on psak. Their focus is on lamdas. Their focus is on, I don't know, Tanakh. It could be their focus is on something else. It could be that they lack an understanding of people and therefore they're not misugal to be poskim, because if they don't really understand how people work and the challenges that people face, so they're not going to make for very good poskim. Or it could be they just don't have any mesora in psak, and that also can cripple a posek if he doesn't have any basic idea of traditions of how to handle given situations. No shimush in psak. Rabbi Sinshachter told me that she thought the most valuable experience Shai ever had was sitting with his father all day learning, and they never really learned. It was just listening to different people coming and asking shaylas all day, and that's a very valuable. I shouldn't say they never really learned. I'm just saying they never. Yeah, okay. And sometimes it's just a lack of chush. There are some people that just don't have the feel for psak, or the, I guess you call it, the confidence for psak. And that's how you end up usually with outlandish chumras. Someone who doesn't have a chush for how to weigh different issues, and they just see, well, we got to play it safe. So you have to be chushish for every possible shita. And when we say that you have to learn a lot, it doesn't just mean in that particular mitzvah. That's something that needs to be emphasized. A person has to get a feel for kala Torah kula in order to paskin on anything. Meaning a person who wants to be a posek has to go through shas a few times. Meaning you can't not see the enormity and the full all the colors and shades of kala Torah kula that's out there in order to have just a sense of how Torah works, of how psak works, and otherwise your judgment will be off. Meaning you have people right now that are publishing svarim on very, very, very narrow areas of halacha. And Rav Asher Weiss once said to me, he said, those people that are publishing those, they know more about that mitzvah than I will ever know about it. He said, I have no doubt about it. But, what he was alluding to, even though if he didn't say it straight out, was, would you go to them for a psak on that topic, or would you go to Rav Asher Weiss for a psak? Meaning, just because they have mastery of every achron that ever spoke about, I don't know, pick a topic of what, how to define a corner of a beged of tzitzis, so they've written three volumes on how to define a corner, that's not necessarily who you go to with a psak shayla, with a shayla halacha lemaisa. You want to go to someone who has a picture of, because if that's your expertise and you don't have a sense of kala Torah kula, everything takes on magnified importance within that area. And you can't imagine that that there would be kulas, or that people would be willing to rely on kulas, because you don't see how kulas work in general, or sometimes you don't see how chumras work in general. So what that kind of attitude and approach would mean if you took that to every single area of psak, and how it would be an absurdity to carry it over to every area of psak. So you need someone with an overarching knowledge of kala Torah kula, and that it doesn't mean you have to be a bucky in everything, but at least have seen shas, have seen parts of dalet chelkei shulchan aruch. Otherwise, the judgment is going to be totally off. It's also, you know, if a person, you have people that study a particular area of halacha, and as Moreinu Rav Willig once mentioned to me, he said, you can have people that study a particular area of halacha, but they don't know what a sveksveka is. Meaning, they don't know, like, the basic concepts of psak. And if they don't know what a sveksveka is, then you can't go to them for a psak halacha on something like that. Or they don't know how much weight to put into a shas adchak, or how much weight to apply to a das yachid, as opposed to the general accepted opinion. Just yesterday, I got a call from someone told me that they were that their wife gave birth 2.5 weeks ago, and the wife was told, and the husband was asking Shaila. She did a bedika, and the rabbi said, "Don't do any bedikos except for day 1 and day 7, and we're big day tzavonim the whole time." So he said, like, the guy, it sounded strange to the guy. So he called me up. He said, like, does that sound reasonable? I said, it sounds reasonable if she's been trying to get tahor for 6 months and she hasn't been done for 2.5 weeks after having a baby. She's obviously not ready yet. That's like a crazy early time to. And but whoever they went to for the psak probably heard of this idea that, yeah, we could be makel with big day tzivon in the neshas adchak instead of wearing white. So for those of you who needed this, makes sense. For those who haven't, whatever. Okay, that what? Always. Okay, I don't know, I was not familiar with that, but it sounded a little crazy to me. That they give that eitz all the time? It sounds crazy to me, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Rabbi says if you can't get a clean cloth, and you'll let it, it's not going to be able to. So
2 weeks after giving birth? No. There's a kolel guy. I said, does the rabbi know who you are? He said, yeah, I'm a guy in the kolel. And he knows that. Okay, so it's 2 weeks after childbirth. I'm sorry.
It's crazy, but the psak is totally.
But that's the whole point. I mean, you're taking a psak that's meant for either for people who aren't frum, or for people who are 6 months later or 3 months later, and you're applying it to someone who's 2 weeks after childbirth who's pasha, not ready. And to what end? They're not going to be allowed to have tashmish anyway for 6 weeks. But why would you do that? Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not.
After 2 weeks?
The issue I have in Ida is that there is no such chiluk. Everybody has nisyonot. Some people can't handle it. So this guy, I don't know this guy, but the posik I learned Ida by.
After 2 weeks would tell people to do that?
He has such chiluk. It's not necessarily from polo guys. But the fact that that's
I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know who you learned Ida by, but I wouldn't go to such a person for psak if they're telling people after 2 weeks to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds insane to me.
Before 4 weeks, don't even touch your wife. And that's how we find
them. I don't know if you learn Perek Ben Chaim or not, but I don't know. That sounds, again, I'm not, I was just using this as an example. I thought it was an extreme example. I couldn't even imagine that there would be someone that thought, but you're coming out of YU with that psak?
I'm not saying I would tell a person that way. The person came and asked me the shayla. He had, why are they doing medika after 2 weeks?
She figured she stopped bleeding. She figured we might as well. They're young. They don't know any better. They don't know what to expect. So she's not bleeding anymore. So she's doing a bedika. That's why you need to give a little guidance. Or that, whoa, it's a little early to be doing a bedika.
I would wonder if there's probably more to this story than that.
Whether there is or isn't, I mean, I spoke to the guy, so and I asked those questions, but I don't know if. I'd be a little disturbed if someone coming out of YU Smicha was coming out with that psak. No?
I don't
know.
I'm not saying I would jump and say that. I also don't think it's so far off the pale depending on the type of person you're talking to.
You're talking to a kolel guy who's had the first kid and it's 2.5 weeks in. I don't want this to derail our whole discussion over here, but I mean, I feel pretty strongly about this, so I will fight it out with you later. Okay. All right. We haven't gotten into anything yet, but just again by way of introduction, Rabbi Penner told me the other day that he was talking to Rav Yitzchak Berkovitz, who's the Rosh Yeshiva Veisha Torah and is a brilliant Talmud Chacham and also a great posek. And Rabbi Berkovitz was explaining that he teaches psak halacha, he teaches people how to paskin, and he said he feels that he's able to do it. And he said, Rabbi Petter said, he said to him, do you mind if I use a mashal from a mushkas? So he said, okay. He said, there was a guy by the name of Billy Martin. Anyone familiar with who Billy Martin was? As be my generation. Billy Martin was the manager of the Yankees 5 times. He kept on being hired and fired because George Steinbrenner had this love-hate relationship with him. But he was an excellent, excellent manager. He was a World Series winning manager. He was an excellent manager. So Roy Berkowitz said that someone asked Billy Martin, you know, you were a very poor baseball player. You were like a second baseman who hit like career average of like 230, and you didn't really make it as a player. Why are you a manager? Like, why would people listen to you about how to play baseball if you're Billy Martin? And he said, no, you have to understand. He said, if Joe DiMaggio were to be charged with teaching people how to hit, he wouldn't know what to say because he just hit. It just came to him. It was just something that he did. Billy Martin said, I actually had to think about how to hit in order to be able to hit. So Roy Berkowitz said, Lahav deal, you know, like for many great poskim, they can't really talk about the topic of how to paskin. They have such a chush for psak that it's like, and such a yediyah of kalat harakula that it really comes naturally to them. And they can't really explain why those cheshbonos are happening in their head. But if you're someone who had to think about it, so then you're almost more equipped to explain it. So in that sense, I'm almost qualified to talk about this topic. And it should be noted, our yeshiva has more poskim than I think just about any yeshiva in the world, meaning certainly a percentage of rebbeim who are actually poskim in our yeshiva. That probably has a lot to do with the style of learning, with the way that we learn. That we learn in the way, as Rav Shechter explained, Rav Soloveitchik Shir, was to take a forest and find a path and show how everything is actually in Seder, everything actually fits, everything actually is organized, and there's a way to understand everything and to provide clarity where you thought you were totally lost, where you thought you were an absolute mess. That is not the style of every yeshiva. There are many yeshivas where the more complicated the shiur and the less the guys understand it, then the better the shiur is assumed to be. That's not what we assume generally in our yeshiva. We look to try to give clarity, and that breeds poskim, because that's the style of thinking of psak, is to think in categories and think with clarity and to come out with something, to know exactly what you're coming out with. Because if you don't come out with something concrete, then you're not going to pask. And that's why very often the greatest lamdanim are not great poskim. Very often, not always. Yeah.
In terms of these qualifications that we're giving for like a posik, so in terms of defining a posik, so if you like a rav for shul is entering.
We'll get to this, right? I mean, there are obviously different levels of shailas. If someone asks you, a basic question in forgot yalav yavo, so you don't need. That's not the same thing as being matir naguna, right? I mean, there are different levels of psak halacha, and some of these things aren't even really what we would call a hora'a. There, it's just it's a maramakum hulo. You're just showing, oh yeah, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so you showed what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That which requires a hora'a is needs much higher level people, and that's mostly what we're talking about. But I think it's a good way to go through this topic. Is there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch that's sort of about this. I say sort of about this, but it's not entirely about this. There's a siman in Choshem Mishpat and siman Yud and Hilchos Dayanim about what it takes to be or the derech hapsak of a dayan. Not really so much what the qualities are in being a dayan, but what you have to do as a dayan. What a dayan needs to keep in mind. It's only 4 si'ifim. It's a very short siman. And many of the Echronim point out on most of the Simin that it's not only about Chosh HaMishpat, that it's about really Paskini Halachas and Nisr V'Heter as well. So in Si'if Aleph, in Simin Yud and Chosh HaMishpat, Shulchan Aruch writes, Tzarech HaDayin Lios Maslun Bedin, a Dayin has to be patient, Shloyev Sekenu Ad Shiachmitzenu V'Yisav Yitinbo, he can't Paskin it until he's given it time, and he's mulled over the issue, back and forth, V'Yihia Bar Lo Kashemesh. And he has to have absolute clarity on the matter. The Hagas Libo Bahura'a, someone who becomes a Bal Gaiva in Psak, the Kofi to Posek Hadin, Kodim Sheikh Renuetev, and just Paskins Adin before really analyzing it properly, Beinol Venatsmo, at least in his own mind, Achilo Barlok Shemesh, Hareze, such a person is Shota, Rasha, Vigas Ruach. So that's pretty strong lashon, right? That a person who just jumps to paskin without really giving it the respect that it deserves is a shota rasha gas ruach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Zayin and Beis learns from the puzzle of Salah b'malos al mizbechi, with it juxtaposed to ve'ela hamishpatim, that in order to be someone who deals with ve'ela hamishpatim, you can't be Salah b'malos. You can't run. You have to take things slowly. Things have to go on a gradual incline. The Mishnah in the first Mishnah Pirkei Avos have a mesunim b'din. Sanhedrin daf lamed hey derives from a pasuk. Ashrei dayan shemach mitzas dino, right? That fortunate or praiseworthy is a dayan who's mach mitzas dino. Mach mitz means he allows it to become chametz. He allows it to wait. He allows time. A lot of times you think about a shayla and you think you know the answer, but you just mull it over in your head over time, and you just think about it. And there are new angles that you think about that you never would have thought about in that moment. So that's a very worthy thing to do, and it's something that's countercultural, because our culture is that everything needs to be immediate, and that's not the way it was. Rav Shachter always points out that a shaila that Rav Chaim Eiser would have spent a month writing a tshuva on, every 25-year-old rabbi is expected to immediately respond to over the phone or over WhatsApp or whatever. This also relates to the union of looking in svarim. Rav Shachter pointed out, I think in the name of Chaim Velazhner, that in his Ruach Chaim, that it's a violation of Mora Halacha Befnei Rabbo Bizman Hazeh if a person doesn't look in Svarim before passing. There's a tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov, in Chelek Beisim and Samach Dalid, where he writes, Lo Tov Asa, she hitrif miyad, built the iun b'sefer. He's writing to another Rav, and he says, you did something wrong by paskening right away that something's a trefa without looking into a sefer. Afshaya pashut be'enav, eine p'kichin, even though it was pashut to you, and you're a smart guy. Mikamakam hatarachas alamanam shal Yisrael. But before you pasken that someone's animal is a trefa, that they're going to lose money, you have to realize that matters. V'hayim in arayilios masan b'hara. You have to be patient. Ukvar amru chazal asu l'talmud b'horos b'makom rabo mikolshkein sharabo seinu hein hein asvarim. You're not allowed to pasken in front of your rebbe, and our rebbes are the svarim. Asher nispashtu b'karav Yisrael. Roy lekomi shegila rush lo yora shumara bilti iun tchila b'sefer. That a person should not issue a hora'ah without looking into a sefer first. There is this idea of osios machkimos, that looking in the sefer just gets you to think about things and to analyze things. And to the extent that that's possible, it's not always possible. Sometimes there aren't svarim around. Sometimes it needs an immediate answer. It's not always possible. To the extent that it's possible, don't rely on memory. Always look in the sefer. I can't tell you how many times I said, oh, I think I remember that sefer says that this is mutter. Then I look in the sefer and he discusses the issue and he says the exact opposite of what I remember it saying. Maybe that's just because I have a faulty memory, but I've seen it happen to other people as well. So it's kedai to look in the sefer.
Maybe you'll get to this, but most of us will not be poskim. We'll be finding a poskim, deciding who we're going to ask certain shilas. They're going to discuss them, how to decide on a poskim.
How to decide on a poskim. We'll get to some related issues.
Like,
we'll get some.
Nita was mentioned, so like Rav Shechter is very unique in Shita and Maris, right?
Right.
Read,
you know, if you pass kindergarten, you can pass
exactly.
Maris, right?
So
yeah.
Most people that I know in this place don't go to Rav Shechter for Maris. So that's a decision that we're making, but who are we to make that decision? And
right.
So
we'll discuss it a little bit. That's not, I don't know if that's the the main topic. What do you think, Rabbi Roth, actually?
If not now, then it's good to discuss.
We'll discuss it at some point. Okay.
We'll for our community, who do you decide, you know,
right.
Should I go with?
I hear. Good. Okay.
Are there just things that...
Yeah, yeah.
The story about waiting on a child, the story of, like, Shlomo Zalman about abortion or Goldenberg.
Yeah. So that was right. That was Shlomo Zalman had time to think about it, and then he said, "Okay, go ask Rabbi Waldenberg," which he wouldn't have thought right away. Right away, he would have given a psak. Okay. In addition, it's important to have yishuv hadas. Sometimes when you're paskening in the moment, you're it's not the right moment. Meaning, there are people that are very, very smart people and a great talmid chachamim, but they can't recall their learning if their mind is otherwise distracted. So you get that WhatsApp message with the shayla while you're juggling heckling your kids and their friends at boomers, you know, and like, or whatever, I don't know, wherever you take your kids, and everything is chaos, and it's loud, and so you're not really B'yish of Hadas. The Bach writes in Yardeus and Reshman Beis, which is the other very relevant siman over here, and it's quoted by the Shach over there, that someone who's ain't died to Mirshavas alav, al yorah b'shoshu meitzar, d'chsiv b'tzar al yorah, that a person shouldn't paskin when he's b'tzar, when he's not really experiencing Yish of Hadas. Sometimes a person is experiencing trauma in his life, should recognize that he can't necessarily trust himself to think clearly, because just what he's going through in his personal life. There's an unbelievable tshuva in the Nadbi Yehuda in Tinyana Evne Ezer Simen Tazvav. Nadbi Yehuda in Tshuvas in Evne Ezer, he was dealing with being Matir Agunos, he was dealing with like very, very serious issues. And Nadbi Yehuda writes, V'lechem Lismoch Lahatira, he's talking about being Matir a woman, he says, V'yan Kiroshi V'libi Bal Imi. He says, I have to tell you, my head's not here, my heart's not here. Kizugasi haravanit himutelas al eres devai. He says, because my wife is on her deathbed right now. Zeyoser mishalosh shvus, and it's been like this for over 3 weeks. V'chein lo yuchal lismoch ke'es alai. You can't rely on me right now, the Nadav Yehuda writes. V'yivarhu So I don't want you to trust my psak. I want you to think about it, clarify it. You're a rabbi too. Make sure that what I'm saying makes sense, because I wouldn't trust myself. And that's an important element of psak, is to have a clear mind, that a person's head shouldn't be preoccupied. And also the Shulchan Aruch emphasized that you should come to a clear conclusion, that you have to be certain that you're correct. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Dav Zayin says, "Darsh Rabbi Yoshia, May Dechsev Dina LeBoker Mishpat. Chi BeBoker Dan VeChol Yom Ein Danin. What is Mishpat? Only in the morning. It's not in the afternoon. Ela Imbar Lecha KaBoker Amrehu Vimla VeAl Tamruhu. If it's as clear to you as a clear morning, then you can say it. Otherwise, you don't say it. You know, this is something that Rav Shechter once commented, that he's bothered by the term Lanias Daiti in Psak Halacha. He says Psak Halacha cannot be Mitalcha Nius Adas. Psak halacha has to be me'ashiras hadas. Anias hadas could be a svara here and there, but if you're giving a psak halacha, you have to be clear on it. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Dalet tells us that you shouldn't be afraid to say eni yodeya, or at least that I need to look into it. It's okay. It's okay, even though people will see blue checks, you know, that so they know you read the shaila already, that you're not getting back to them right away. It's also okay for you to say I need time to look into it, so that they know what's going on. But it's Rav Asher Weiss just last week told us that how important it is. As he was talking to a group of rabbanim, he was telling us how important it is to say I don't know, or to say I have to look further into it. And he said, just today I told someone I don't know. I'm like, you know, I say that 1,000 times a day, but it was a chiddush. Just today he told someone he doesn't know. And part of clarity is not only in the halacha, it's also in the situation. You have to develop a sense for what kinds of shaila can be done with text, what kinds with voice note, what kinds involve a phone call, what kinds involve an in-person meeting. Sometimes a person will text the shaila because that's the most convenient way, and you're like, whoa, there's a lot more here. There's obviously a lot more to unpack. Let's talk about this. And you have to recognize that and be able to call that out. That's also part of clarity. The Shach in Yardeus and Reish Mem Beis writes that just like it's asr lahatir as asr, kach asr lesor as mutter. Sometimes a lack of clarity leads people to just say, okay, be machmir. Why would you play games with this? Just be machmir. The Shach writes, that's asr to do. And therefore he says, if the isr is not bar kashemesh, so you have to at least inform the person that I don't have perfect clarity on this. And maybe you could ask someone else. Maybe I'll try to gain clarity. I think it's ra'i lahachmir, but I don't have perfect clarity. Meaning it's okay to tell someone that you're not 100% clear on the issue when you're not 100%. Meaning what a lot of this boils down to is honesty, integrity, and humility. Not claiming to be the Rosh Kavahag that knows the answers of everything when you don't really know the answers of everything. And there also has to be, and this is a critical part of Psak, is not only clarity in your own mind, but clarity in the way that you give it over to the person. If you are saying a clear Psak, but the person is not receiving a clear Psak, it's worthless, because they're going to do the wrong thing. That's what the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, that's why they instituted Smicha. that the idea of what we call smicha, not the real smicha, what we call smicha, what we're doing here in yeshiva, right? Heter hora'a, yora yora, right? That started because the Gemara says there was a scholar that came to a community and he taught them something, some halacha about hechsher lekabel tuma, about mei bitzayim, and everyone thought that, about mei beitzim, and everyone thought that he said mei bitzayim, that swamp waters are not hechsher lekabel tuma, and they were all getting the halacha wrong. What he had really said was mei beitzim, that egg whites are not hechsher lekabel tuma, but he couldn't communicate that effectively. And if everyone gets the halacha wrong because the person can't communicate it effectively, well then it's worthless as a psak. You also have to make sure that you can picture how the person might hear it. Will the person understand whatever you say as a lechachila? Will they be medama milsa lemilsa? Will it cause them to view the whole religion as a joke because they think, oh, there's like this end around, and they're going to think that it's like that it's kechucha v'tlula. Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Reish Mem Beis says you're not allowed to pass on something that's a dover tamua l'rabin, something that just seems weird. But it's the correct halacha. What do you mean it seems weird? Because you have to make sure that the integrity of the entire halachic system is not compromised by a psak halacha that you give. All of these are factors in terms of dealing with given areas of psak. And that brings me to another thing relating to clarity. And this is like a machala of our generation, but also one of the greatest blessings of our generation. And that is the use of kitzer books, or the use of highly specialized, like we were talking about before, svarim, that they're very useful to have. Very useful to have. If you know that you get a lot of shailas in a particular area, so it's, you're a rabbi of a young community. So there are books about how to deal with all sorts of issues relating to children. So I have at home, Children in Halacha, three-volume set called Hakatan Vilchosav. You know, it's good. It's good to have all of those things. If you know that you deal with a lot of pregnancy shailas, so get all of those books, Rabbi Webster's book, and all of those books that have all the marmakomos. But you have to know how to use those svarim. The Gemara Maseches Sota Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph tells us Tana Hatanoim Mevalei Olam. Tanoim doesn't mean what we call Tanoim; it means people who teach Mishnayos and Brisos or Mevalei Olam. Mevalei Olam. What are they doing wrong? Amar Ravina Shemorin Halacha Mitoch Mishnasa. That they're Mora Halacha just from the Mishnayos, without delving into it, meaning just from Mishnayos were the halacha psuka that they were able to say over. Halacha psuka is not a way to paskin a halacha; it's something that requires a hora'a. The Rambam writes in the introduction to the Yad that all you need is a chumash and his sefer. It's a good kasha. The Torah also has something similar. He says, I don't think it's necessary, the Torah writes in his Akdama, to bring rayos. I'm just bringing you what the poskim say, bottom line. So that's a good kasha. But there are many, many sources that indicate otherwise. The Tshuvas HaRash, Klal Lamed Aleph, Ostes, writes, Umasha Haven Midivre Rambam, Lo Haven Dvarav. He's talking to someone who came to him with a diuk in the Rambam. He says, and that which you think you were medayik from the Rambam, you just don't understand the Rambam. And he says, V'chein toim kol morim horaos mitok divrei Rambam zal, ve'in b'kim b'gemara leida mehecha notzi dvarav. I mean, the Rush really takes on the Rambam's own comment about how all you need is a chumash in my book. And the Rush says, If you're passing just straight from a Rambam, you don't really understand the sugya. If you don't really understand the sugya, your whole psak, toim lahatira asr v'lesar as a mutter, says the Rush. You're making a mistake to asr that which is mutter and to be matter that which is asr, and it's very common to do that if all you're seeing is a bottom line halacha and you're not having you don't have a sense of where it comes from, what the background is. The Marsha on that Gemara in Sota has a more explicit comment relating to these kinds of things. He writes, "Ubedoros halalu, osin shemorin halacha mitoch haShulchan Aruch, ve'enam yodim tama inyan." If you're just passing straight from Shulchan Aruch and you don't know the background, shall call davar. Im lo yidaktuchu mitchila bedavar mitoch haTalmud shuhushimush tamidi chachamim taus nafal ba'ra'asan. Says Marsha, if you don't pay careful attention to the whole sugya, and that's what we call shimush tamidi chachamim. Learning the sugya is what we call the Gemara in a few places refers to Shimush Tamidei Chachamim as not just Tam doing nice things for Tamidei Chachamim. It means really working through the sugya from a Torah Shebal Peh perspective. And if you don't do that and you're just looking at a Kitzer Sefer, Ta'us nafal bara'asan varein mevali olam v'lchein yesh ligor behen. So he said this is something to get upset about, says the Marsha. It's worth getting upset about.
That was the whole intention of Shacharim when you wrote Shacharim, was you had a basis of...
Well, the Shulchan Aruch is explicit about that. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says that he wrote a Chazara book. He wrote Cliff's Notes to Chazar after he learned the Beis Yosef. He never intended that anyone would use the Shulchan Aruch without the Beis Yosef, right? He makes that very clear in his introduction. He also didn't know that there would be a Magen Avraham and a Shach and a Taz, and, you know, so there is a Limud Zchus on learning Shulchan Aruch straight with Nosei Kelim, because Shulchan Aruch, as just a Shulchan Aruch, never intended that it should be that way. The Ksav Sofer has a tshuva also, a fascinating passage. He says in tshuva in Or Chaim Simin Yudches, Ksav Sofer writes, why is it called Dalet Amos Shel Halacha? Right, the Gemara says in the Brachos Daf Ches, why is it Dalet Amos? Why is Halacha Dalet Amos? So Ksav Sofer says, Dafka for Kitzarich Lelech Madrega L'Madrega. He says, because there are four levels till you get to Pesach. Lilmot Tchila Mikra, V'acharkach Mishnah, V'acharkach Gemara, V'acharkach Halacha. That you need to go through Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha. You need to go through that process, and you can't skip stages in that process. Aval Elu Chadosh Mikarov Ba'u, Shalalamdu Me'ikaru, Rak Mipi Sifrei HaKitzurim, says the Ksav Sofer, those who only learn from the Kitzur books, Lo Yedu V'lo Yavinu. They don't understand, they don't know. And this is something you see, it's meisim b'chol yom, that, you know, if you spend all your learning time outside of halacha, not doing halacha, so and then you become a rabbi, and now you got a paskin halacha, but you never really learned halacha seriously. You just got, you know, the certificate that said rabbi by reading someone's notes and taking a bechina, and you never seriously learned halacha. You may be a big masmid. You may have learned lamdas on a very, very, very high level. But what are you going to do when it comes time for Pesach? I have that book. I'll just open up. Oh, it says over there, you know. Then you can end up with the wrong Pesach most of the time, or very often. It's also important not to paskin unless you're mamash a gadol b'Yisrael, based on chidushim or diyukim. Especially, I've seen people do this, diyukim in the Kitzur book. Right? So they'll make a diyuk in the English Kitzur book. It's like, oh, so it must be that he meant, you can't, must be that he meant. You have to look through the sugya. But even a diyuk in like, in a real diyuk in learning, there's a difference between saying something in learning and saying something in lahalacha. You have to be a person who's a real bal madrega to have the confidence in your chidushim and your diyukim to rely on them lahalacha. Rav Shechter does all the time. He paskins like his chidushim lahalacha all the time, but he's Rav Shechter, and we're not. So. Right. Well, that's I mean, that's not just about the Yukim and Chidushim, that's about seeing Halacha L'maaseh as opposed to in theory in the Beis Medrash. So that really relates to Shimush. That a lot of times you'll hear things in the Beis Medrash, but you don't know what is actually done L'maaseh. So it's important to, so that's what we assume throughout Shas, that when it's a Maaseh Rav, it's more powerful than other things. So again, in learning, it may or may not be a good thing to have a lot of diukim and chidushim. I was sitting next to Rabbi Kalish at a chasana last night, one of the chasanas I was at, and Rabbi Kalish, he regaled me with you know, beautiful machshavos about learning Gemara. I don't know if you know Rabbi Kalish. He's a yid who's been finishing Shas every year for the last, I think, 30, 40 years or something, and he just loves learning Gemara. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva for Rockaway, and his whole derech halimud is chazar. Meaning, he says, I don't say over Reb Chaim's, I don't say over that. Just chazering over the Gemara, Rashi, Kipshuto, Tosos, just like basics. And one of the things that he said to me, he said, well, how did Rashi become Rabban Shel Yisrael, as opposed to all the other Rishonim? Rashi is the teacher of Klal Yisrael. He said, it's two things. So he said, first of all, it's that Rashi valued brevity, right? That kitzer. That's how Rashi, and he had some rayas from a number of Rashis all over Shas like that. That Rashi valued brevity. And number two, Rashi never says chidushim. You know, all this commentary in Shas, never a chiddush. Never his own chiddush. Never and that's a great rebbe. That he's that to learn what's there, but not to always be so in love with our own chidushim. So okay, people are allowed to say chidushim, but in Psak Halach you have to be very, very careful when it comes to saying chidushim. So I said to Rabbi Kalish, and also I suggested a third thing, and he's like, no, it's true, but that's not the reason. The reason Rashi became the Rabbi Shal Yisrael is I thought he was just trying to like say a nice idea. He was like, no, this is MS. What you're saying is not like absolute MS. So okay, the Sif Beis in Simin Yud, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Chosh Mishpat, Kol mi shebo li yado din, umidamehu li din acher shebo li yado kvar upasko. You have a din that comes in front of you, and you say, "Oh, I had a similar one." V'yeshimo bi'ir gadol menu b'chachma, and there is someone who's greater than you that you could consult with. Ve'eino nimlach bo, and you don't consult with such a person. Hareza b'chal harashayim shalibim gaspa hura'a. Also, it's a Maisa Rishos. To just say, oh, I had something similar once. I remember I asked Rabbi Shachter about that, and he told me this. So it must be this is roughly the same thing. And therefore, but you have a base medrash full of Rabbi Shachter, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Sabalovsky, Rabbi Neuberger, and you choose not to go to any of them, and just to make the be Madam Milsa La Milsa. So that's Rishayim Shalibim Gaspa Hora'a. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Beis, says that when Rav Huna had a Din Torah, he would gather 10 Rabbanim in order to share the burden of responsibility. Why would you take it all on your own shoulders if others can also be in on it with you? And that's Kord LaHalach in Chosh Mishpat Simin Gimel Sif Dalid. And it does not mean that you... What this means also, you can't rely on meaning, when we say that you have to discuss with other people, it means actually discuss with them. Sometimes someone will come to you with a Shaila and they'll say, oh, Rabbi so-and-so once told me. So they'll pre-bias you before you ever answer the Shaila. Because they'll say the name of a very impressive name, right? And they'll say, Rav Dov Feinstein once said to me this and this. What do you think? You know, like, oh, now you sound like an idiot. I think Rav Dov Feinstein is wrong. I think, you know, I know. No, but you can't trust hearsay either, and you shouldn't be biased by hearsay. You have to actually talk with real people. The Shlomo Melech tells us, Pesi Yamin L'chol Davar. A fool trusts everything. You can't even trust Taisus about a Gemara that he quotes from someone else. And Taisus is very, very trustworthy. So Rav Hirsch told us when I was in 11th grade, and Rav Hirsch was a substitute Rebbe in Rabbi Hechshir in MTA. So Rabbi Hirsch said, when Taisus quotes a Gemara, you better learn that whole parak. So that was something I didn't forget. I can't say I do it, but it's something I didn't forget. It's also important to get more to have discussion about it, because then you get to consider other viewpoints. The Gemara in Erevin says that we paskin like Beis Hillel because they taught Divrei Beis Shammai and were makdim Divrei Beis Shammai l'divreihem. So what does having nice midos have to do with the Klalei HaPsak? Just because they're makdim Divrei Beis Shammai l'divreihem. So the Beis Yosef writes that the Torah is a spiritual pursuit and requires siyata d'shmaya, that we believe that actually, so on that level, that's true, meaning on a certain level, it is about midos tovos, and the people who have midos tovos are going to have more siyata d'shmaya. So Shachta likes to tell the story about Bertrand Russell. They asked him, how could it be that you're a philosopher, that you're an ethics professor, if you're a womanizer and an alcoholic and this and that? And he said, I don't see you asking your geometry professor how he could teach geometry if he's not a square, a circle, nor a parallelogram. Meaning, what does one have to do with the other? But we believe in Psak Halacha that and in Torah that im doma rav l'malach Hashem tevakish Torah mipiv im la vali vakish Torah mipiv, the Gemara says moed katan. So that's one element. The Tosrid in Erevin writes that on a more practical level, that you're going to understand your own position much better when you take an opposing viewpoint into account. Meaning, how do you prepare for any debate? By doing opposition research, right? You have to understand what the other side is going to say. And once you understand the other side, right? There's a group of Rabbanim that went to Eretz Yisrael recently, before the trip with that I went on recently, that they take them to Palestinian leaders and to just to hear what the other side is. Why? Because they're trying to convert everyone into left wing whatever, and students for justice of Palestine or no, just you'll understand your own position better when you understand what the argument against is. There's a lot of value to that, and having that argument out with somebody is very helpful in terms of clarifying your own position. And also, obviously, you can't go looking for kulos, except for rare situations in halacha. You also, less obviously, can't go looking for chumras. There are people that do not want that do not want a kula. They only want to listen to a chumra. There are people that don't want any chumras. They only want to listen to a kula. Most of the time, we try to really go down the middle. There are cases where you have to be biased in one way or the other. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that David HaMelech compared himself to the other kings of the world, and he said, "I'm different because they're busy, pampering themselves and sleeping late in their palace. But Yodai Meluchachos B'dam Shviru B'dam Shilia L'Tahiri Shalabayla, not Leida Imhi Tahori Imhi Tameya L'Tahiri Shalabayla. There is a bias in that direction." In Hilchos Nida, to be metaher isha lebaila. So that is one case where there might be, particularly if it's a case where it's like an ongoing troubling situation. We were at Machon Pua, Rabbi Rothbox was there. Hey, were you with us at Machon Pua? And someone came in from one of the Rabbanim of Machon Pua, came in with a bedikah cloth. This couple hasn't been together in months. They've been inside something, I think he said 6 months that they haven't been together. A day 7 bedikah, and I can't be matirit. Can someone be matir this bedikah? Now, what kind of way of talking is that? Is it either mutar or asir? Can someone be matir? So it happens to be, it's funny, because he passed it around the room. There were 9 Rabbanim who were all essentially Rabbanim of our yeshiva, and we're all like, we don't even see the Shaila, like it's totally mutter. Like we didn't even, it's such a different Masorah that that this Rav had, that he's like, okay, good enough for me. Like he didn't argue with us at all, meaning this was a situation where you needed to find a heter. Again, not after 2.5 weeks of childbirth, but this is a situation where you needed to find a heter. Heter agunos is a situation where you need to find a heter. It has to be done with great care. The koch tetera adif, that means something else. That means you have to have more confidence to say a heter than meaning it's misused. It's used as a melitza. In that way, but what it really means in Shas is that in order to say something is mutter, you have to really be sure of it, because it's very easy to say something is asir. The Shulchan Aruch goes on in Sif Gimel, Ki Rabim Chalalim Hipila Zet Talmud Chacham Shelo Higia Lahora'a Umora Vatsumim Kol Arugeha Zet Shehigia Lahora'a Ve'in Umora V'ushia Hador Tzorich Lo. That it's a tragedy if you have someone who's not ro'i to paskin and paskins. It's also a tragedy if you have someone who is ro'i to paskin and chooses not to, provided that he's needed. But if you know there are other people that are qualified, and therefore you choose not to, that's fine. And things get messy in Choshen Mishpat in particular. Like, to shy away from Choshen Mishpat, we certainly understand why someone would want to do that. So what does it mean to be ra'ui lahora'a? So the Gemara tells us that it's at Arba'in and Shnin, that until the person has to be 40 years old, it's pasul halach, the Ramah writes in Yerodeh Sim Resh Mem Beis, Sif Lamed Aleph. But the Ramah says, of course, if you're the most qualified person, you're in some small community where you're the rabbi, you're 26 years old, and there is nobody who knows how to paskin. And so then it's on you. But ideally speaking, the Aruch HaShulchan explains, Ben Arba'im Labina is a real thing, that there is something that comes with life experience and a certain bigger picture assessment of things. So that's a useful, there's no way to teach that, obviously, but that's a useful thing to have. And also, obviously, there's a level of chachma that's required to be higia lo ra'ab. The Rambam in the 5th paragraph of Talmud Torah says that anyone who's not magia lo ra'ab, and his mora is a rasha shot of a gasa ruach, which is the lashon the Shulchan Aruch uses, and the Rambam writes, Elu atalmidim akatanim shlo hirbu Torah karaui, ve'mevakshim l'skadol b'fnei amei aretz. Meaning it's easy to look smart in front of amei aretz. There are people that are doing geirus and that are being matir agunos and mamzerim that are clearly just not on the madrega. So he says, "Hema marbim amachlokes vehema machrivim es haolam." V'amechabin neiro shel Torah, v'amechablim kerem Hashem, tzvakos, aleim amashlom v'chachmaso, achsel anushualim shulim katan v'chablim kram. He uses a very strong language to describe people who, and sometimes well-intentioned people, people who think that they're doing a big mitzvah because they're being matir agunos. What could be a bigger mitzvah than being matir agunos? But if you're someone who's not on that level of psak and you just decide, or that they're trying to make it easy, there are people that their families that are being torn apart because their daughter fell in love with a non-Jewish guy and they just want to make it easier to make him a Jew. So they just say, okay, mutlach mutlach, you know, dip him in a mikveh and he's a Jew. And they think that they're doing such a great thing, but they don't realize they're destroying the yichus of Klal Yisrael. They're doing something that's really a very terrible thing if they're not yet of a madrega to make such decisions. Pischei Tshuva in Yerdei and Simen Sadites says that if somebody asks the lomdim who are not balei hora, I think quotes from a Tshuva Semach Tzedek Kakadmo, that if somebody asks lomdim who are not balei hora, his avera is not considered a shogeg. I mean, if you ask a shaila from the local Rosh Yeshiva, but he's not a posek, and he tells you something, and then you're nichshal, it's not called a shogeg. Because you should know better. You should know to ask people who are balei hora'ah. They say that Reb Chaim used to say that no svara can be said until you learned all of Shas with Rashi. That's what we discussed before. I think there is something about that. Rav Shakta tells a story that he remembers he was learning Yevamos in Rav Salvechik Shir, and they were learning about a Petzua Daka and Kroshavcha, and after learning everything they looked at a Shaila from Rav Meisha. That's how Rav Shakta used to study for Smicha. He would look at Rav Meisha's Shailas, he'd write his own Tshuva, and then he would compare his Tshuva to Rav Meisha's Tshuva. And he said he thought that he knew the answer, but then Rav Meisha quoted a Gemara in Bechoros that they never heard of. And you know, that's why there's no such thing as an expert in, you know, without a general expertise. It's a doctor. A doctor has to study everything, and then he can specialize. If you don't study everything, then you can't specialize in anything. Again, like we said before, that you have to know what a sex fake is if you're going to paskin in Hilchas Nida Shaila. It doesn't matter how many years you spend going through a tekes on, in Hilchas Nida, or in Hilchas anything. And it's also good to have, important to have a mesorah from Rebbeim of how to develop a svara. In the Hakdama to Birch Shmuel, Baruch Ber says that you need a tradition how to even ask a shayla, how to ask a kasha. Ravelvel had Talmidim, the Brisker Rav had Talmidim before the war from different yeshivas. Rav Shechta told us that Rav Gorelick would ask questions and the Brisker Rav would ignore him, as if he was an idiot, as if he didn't know anything. And it took Rav Gorelick like a month to realize that Brisker Rav was taking exception to the style of how he was asking the question. That you have to ask a question a certain way. Okay, so that's a little bit extreme, but there's a mesorah that a person has to have in terms of how to talk. Now, I do want to spend a couple of minutes before we get thrown out of this room, since it was raised, to talk about how to find a posek. And I think this is important. Sometimes people are under the impression that you can only go to one person for every shaila that you have in halacha, and that is not true. What is true, though, is that if someone keeps the kulas of Beis Shammai and the kulas of Beis Hillel, the Gemara says such a person is a rasha. Meaning, if the way that you choose which posik to go to is, oh, I hear that the Chassidish posik is a big mekel in Maros of Dam, and I hear that this one is a big mekel in Dinim Amunis, and that one is a big mekel in, I don't know what it means. There's no such thing as a mekel in Dinim Amunis, because it's a chumra for the other guy. But that there's this one is a big mekel in Kashrus, and that one's, he'll tell me that when I go to Eretz Yisrael I can eat anything with Hebrew writing, and that one will tell me. So you have to be careful in terms of that. Meaning, the way we choose, first of all, someone who has a similar misora to ours, someone who comes from a similar place to where we're coming from. If you're going to someone that has an entirely, I think I've mentioned this in the past, I don't go to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein for psak. He knows everything. I don't go to him for psak. Just the way he thinks about things is so, so different than the way all of our Rebbeim think about things. So, it's just not our Masorah. It's just a different, it's just totally different way of thinking about things. So you want to go to people, but within our way of thinking about things, you know that there are certain people that have certain expertise. that have certain a certain amount of knowledge in a particular field, a certain amount of patience, and a certain amount of knowledge of the of the metzius on the ground in that field. So that's okay. That's okay to go to different people for things like that. When, now, if you're going to be a rav of a shul and there are going to be a lot of shailas that are going to be coming up, it may be useful to have second level poskim that you deal. Meaning, there's a big difference between. Again, no offense to anybody, between a 25-year-old person fresh out of smicha and, you know, Rav Shechter. There are a lot of people in between that. You know, so Rav Shechter may not always be available to you. He may not always, but there are younger Rebbeim who can handle a lot of those shilas, meaning have like a Yisro situation. You know, there are younger Rebbeim that can handle a lot of those shilas that maybe have WhatsApp. You know, or maybe are more accessible and might be able to answer your questions. And if you have a very serious question that they can't answer, you want someone more than anything else who has the integrity to say, I don't know. Someone who's just going to always pretend to know is very, very troubling. And also someone who has a sense of a mesora, who respects precedent. And that means someone who comes at it without an agenda. Someone sent me recently a talk that someone gave and said, oh, this shiur is very kedai to listen to on Y.U. Torah or something. So I listened to like 10 minutes of it. I'm like, I can't listen to this. It's ridiculous. The person came in, I'm not going to discuss who it was or what it was, but they came in with a very clear agenda, and the whole talk was about how soon can we get the Torah community to buy into my non-Torah agenda. And that's terrible. Whatever the agenda is, whatever it's, could be anything, but if it's the agenda should be Dvar Hashem, Ratzon Hashem, right? That's what I mentioned last week. Rav Neuberger says that a lot of times when people talk about birth control, using birth control after getting, they talk about getting a heter. So no, you're always doing one thing. You're always trying to find out Ratzon Hashem. Most of the time, Ratzon Hashem is that you have children, and sometimes Ratzon Hashem is that you don't. But it's all figuring out Ratzon Hashem. And you need someone who has the integrity to think about things in that way and respects their own place in the Torah hierarchy. Sometimes you have people who are clearly not on the level of Gedolei Yisrael, but they say, yeah, that rabbi says, I know of a particular shul that was started when there was an issue that came up. This is going back 60 years ago. This is documented, but I'm not going to give too many details on this one either. There was a particular issue that came up in the community, and the rabbi of the shul was a nice guy. The rabbi said, I know Rav Aaron Cutler holds that way, but I'm also a rabbi, and I hold the other way. So they went to ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Balabatim in the shul. It sounded weird to the Balabatim. These Balabatim knew nothing. And they went to ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He said, you make a new shul. You break away and make a new shul. And there's one of the major shuls in the tri-state area was founded because of that. Because that rabbi said that. If a rabbi talks like that, that's a problem. Meaning that's... So you want to go to someone for your Piskei Halacha who has your Mesorah, who's a reasonable person, who understands people, understands the facts on the ground, and understands his place.
What about within one person? They have unique
psakim. Ah, so, okay, good. I also don't think you have to follow every psak of a particular posik. Sometimes you know that the Akavim ben Malal told his own children, don't follow my psakim. It's Mishnayis and Idios. I'm not making it. He said, don't follow my psakim because you heard me piyam Rubim one way and piyam Muat the other way. I'm the Miut. So you can't follow. You're not allowed to follow my psakim. So there are, I don't think every Talmud Rav Shechter has to stop drinking milk. Meaning, I don't even think every Talmud Rav Shechter has to wear tcheles because they're a Talmud Rav Shechter. They should wear it because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But I don't think that they have to wear tcheles just because you're a Talmud Rav Shechter. Meaning, I don't think that you have to necessarily follow like every detail of what every posik. If you see that the overwhelming majority of Gedolei HaPoskim seem to say otherwise, or if you and you've studied the sugya, it seems that majority seems to be in the right. I don't think there's any such rule that you have to follow every single psak that you know of that one of your rebbeim has. So, but again, within reason, you don't want to end up with totally contradictory psakim from different places. So I think that's an important element as well. I do want to get out of here before Rabbi Neuberger gets here. So everyone, thank you very much, and have a great day. We should have like a year-long course on this. understand.